Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Oh, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And we have open lines if you would like to call with a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this afternoon with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program this afternoon with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for a beautiful day, Lord, even though it started out kind of nasty and icy and snowy. We just thank you that the temperatures come up a little bit and the snow is holding off and the ice is melting off. But most importantly, that it's a day that you've given us to serve you regardless of what the weather is. And so, as the Bible says, the day the Lord has made, we should be glad and rejoice in it. Bless the program today. Use it for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to mention a couple things right here as we get started. We are having a special Christmas Eve candlelight service at our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located in Richfield, Ohio, right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80 cross Northern Summit County, and about midway between Akron and Cleveland. If you don't have a church to do something with this Christmas time, or perhaps you're looking for a church where the Bible is lifted up and honored and preached, why don't you come out and visit us if you don't have anything on Christmas Eve. Yeah, come out and visit us. You can find us in the conference room at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. That's the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. And we'll be there at 7 o'clock for our Christmas Eve candlelight service on Wednesday night, this coming December 24th. And I encourage you to come out. We'd love to meet you if you get a chance to make it. Perhaps you have your own church, but you're not doing anything on Christmas Eve at your church. If you have something at your church, I'd sure echo Pastor Lutz's views in the previous program that you should be at your church this Christmas Eve if they have something, and support that. But if your church doesn't have something and you just like to visit with us on our Christmas Eve candlelight service, we'd love to have you on December 24th, Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. You can find out more about us and some of this information as well at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Well, I wanted to share something here as we get started today. I was praying about different things to talk about. And, I always tell people God can use anybody. He can use anything. If he used Balaam's donkey to get his point across, he can use any of us. And I was listening to a secular talk station, talk show on another station and in the Akron area. And the caller called up, and he was talking about Christmas trees, and he was trying to explain to the unsaved secular host some information about Christmas trees and why Christians shouldn't have anything to do with them because of Jeremiah chapter number 10. And I thought, now I remember studying that and going through that and wondering about this myself, and I've talked with other people since then. And it seems like everybody, sooner or later, if you're studying your Bible, you run across Jeremiah chapter 10, and somebody says, isn't that the Christmas tree? So we're going to look at that here today on our program. And in Jeremiah chapter 10, looking at what Jeremiah said, he starts in verse 1, hear ye the word of the Lord, which speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do much or to do good. Now, the passage goes on, and we'll go on in it here in just a few moments, but the reasoning is that people read this and they say, well, here's a tree. It's a tree being cut out of the woods, and they fasten it with nails so that it stays upright and doesn't move, and they deck it with silver and gold. Doesn't that sound like a Christmas tree? And usually Christians will get concerned, because they want to honor Christ. They want to follow the word of God. They want to avoid evil. They want to avoid the appearance of evil. And we certainly should desire those things. But we see this passage and we wonder, what does this mean? Well, let me help you out here a little bit. This passage, if you follow through the context here, you'll find out that this is quite a bit different than the Christmas tree, because the hands of the workmen, cutting the tree out of the forest, and the work of the hands of the workmen, first off, before they fasten it with nails and hammers that it doesn't move and it stays upright, they also trim off the limbs, they trim off the branches, and they want just the stock of wood, and they trim off the bark, and they begin to carve it. Now, notice what it says here as you go down a little further in the passage here in Jeremiah chapter 10. It says in verse number 8, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. And the stock there, this is a log. This is a wooden log. This is what results after they trim off the branches and the bark and everything. And then it says in verse 9, silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, the gold from Uphaz. The work of the workmen and of the hands of the founder, blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. And they plate this resulting idol with silver and gold. Let me go over to Isaiah chapter 40 here for a moment. We'll come back to Jeremiah. But in Isaiah chapter 40, and let me see here, Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll drop down to verse number 19. It says, the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, I mean, he can't get the metal image. It says, he chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image, that it shall not be moved. See some of the key points there that are similar with Jeremiah. They chose a tree, and then they had a workman that prepared a graven image, and it's fastened so that it cannot move. Here's another passage in Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 44. Here in Isaiah chapter 44, we can read some more about this idea of this idol that's fashioned. In verse number 9, it says, they make a graven image, all of them image. Let me back up here a little bit. Verse 9, they that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god, a molten, a graven image that is profitable for nothing? And again, this is the idea of this graven image. Let's continue here in Isaiah 44, verse 11. Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up, yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. He marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. See the carpenter working there and making a figure. And then it continues, verse 14, he heweth him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will yet take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh a graven image and falleth down thereunto. See, he's planting these trees, the cedars, the cypress, and the oak, and growing them, the ash, and growing them. And then when it's gotten the right size, he cuts it down, and part of it he uses to build a fire to warm himself and to bake on. And then another part of it he uses to make a graven image, a god, which is fastened with nails so that it doesn't move. It stays in an upright position. It's covered with silver and gold plate. It's fashioned and graven in the form of a man. Let's continue in Isaiah 44, verse 16, talking about this log or this stock again. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, in their hearts that they cannot understand. And it goes on in verse 19, and none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? And so again, this is the idea that we have here in Jeremiah chapter 10, the cutting of the tree and working at the hands of the workmen. It's cutting off the branches, trimming and scraping off the bark, and carving it into a form to be their god, and decking it with silver and gold. That's the plating of the silver and the gold on it to make an idol. This is not a Christmas tree. Now, having said all of that, certainly there are other things that people talk about with Christmas trees, but Jeremiah chapter 10 is certainly not it. The caller that I heard on a secular radio station the other day, he said that Christmas was condemned in the Old Testament, and he used that verse, he used that passage in Jeremiah chapter 10, and the unsaved secular talk show host was obviously a little dubious of that, and kind of discounted it, but I appreciate the guy's heart was in the right place, the caller. But the problem is, when we take things out of context, we can end up looking foolish. And if you want to use other things to advocate, I guess, for or against observing Christmas, that's fine. That's your right. Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. If you choose to celebrate the birth of Christ at Christmas time, that's fine. Nobody should judge you for that. If you choose not to celebrate the birth of Christ at Christmas time, then that's fine as well. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day. And that's Colossians chapter 2, verse number 16, chapter and verse right there. And so at any rate, again, I want to mention that you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've got a couple of callers calling in, and I want to spend some time with our callers yet here today as well. And we can talk about this or more. And if you want to call in, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we're going to take our first caller, I believe, is Jeremiah. Jeremiah, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, he was talking about the book of Jeremiah.
Hey, here we go.
Let's read out of Hebrews chapter 6.
All right. Hebrews chapter 6.
Verse 18.
Right.
If you can tell me exactly what that passage means.
All right, let me get over here. Hebrews chapter, excuse me, I feel like I got a little frog catching in my throat here. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 8 here. Let me go up to verse number, I'm sorry?
18.
Verse 18. In verse number 18, let me go up to verse 17 because there's a sentence that starts in verse 18's part of that sentence. So it's always best to keep things in context as much as possible. So Hebrews 6, starting verse 17, says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The sentence continues, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in into that which that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So you're asking about what the in verse 18 it talks about God being impossible to lie, also the strong consolation, a number of things there. Is there any particular part there that you're looking at?
Well, it says it is impossible for God to lie.
Right.
Basically, that means God cannot lie.
Correct. I believe Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says that God cannot lie.
The Ten Commandments, it says, it doesn't say you shall not lie, but it
says not to bear false witness, which would be lying.
It's best to be honest with it.
Oh, absolutely, because in Revelation chapter 21, the Bible says all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, and of course, I point this out to people. I have a friend of mine, he has a ministry where he goes to fairs during the summer, and he has a display that has three doors on it, and it says, see three things God cannot do. And I like to challenge people, especially young people, and say, do you think you can do something God cannot do? And usually they'll say, no, that's impossible. And even some people get upset at first until they see behind the first door that the Bible says God cannot lie. And they'll admit that they've lied because, it's kind of humorous at first. They think, okay, yeah, you're right. That's kind of funny. I can do something God cannot do. And then I share with them Revelation 21 and verse number 8, where it says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And you can just see a change come across their face as they kind of sober up, because it only takes one lie to be a liar. It only takes one, and you only have to kill one person to be a murderer or steal one thing to be a thief. So you only have to tell one lie to be a liar. And without salvation through Jesus Christ, that's where we're headed for.
Now, is a lie a sin?
Yes, lying absolutely is a sin. That's why it's listed there as a number of things. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it's listed with murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters. And like I said, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. False witness is a lie.
Now, if you lie, can you ask, and you accidentally lie, can you ask God for forgiveness?
Well,
can he forgive you?
Yeah, and the Bible very plainly says that we all lie. In fact, if we say we have no sin, the Bible says we're lying because we're deceiving ourselves. And see, that's the beauty. When we trust Christ as our Savior, the blood of Christ, the Bible says, cleanses us from all sin. And so God does not see our sin, including our lies, anymore. He sees the blood of Christ over us, because in Romans chapter 3, when we trust Christ as our Savior, God puts the righteousness of himself, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, is placed over us. And so he now doesn't see our righteousness, which the Bible describes as filthy rags. Instead, he sees his righteousness clothed over us. And so he does not see us as a liar anymore. He sees us as his child, and he sees that our sins are forgiven, and the lies that we tell, they're forgiven. Even if somebody trusts Christ today and they tell a lie tomorrow, that sin is forgiven, because when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all of our sin. And all of our sin when he died on the cross was future. I had not committed a single sin when Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. So all of the sins that I commit are under the blood of Christ, because I've trusted Christ as my Savior.
I'll talk to you Sunday night. God bless.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. That was a good question there. Appreciate that. You're listening to Late Night Live, or Live with Pastor. I just about went to my Late Night Live with Pastor Al mode on Sunday nights at 11 o'clock till midnight right here on this station. But we've got Nancy coming up next. And Nancy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. I always appreciate you taking my call. And I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thank you very much. Now, I wanted to ask you a question about 1 John 5:8. But just real quickly, I don't want to dwell on this. I think 1 John 5:7 is so important, so interesting, because they're talking about the Trinity, the Word, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Where I use that verse when I'm witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses, and they take that out of the Bible, don't they? In their version of the Bible, they take out.
Right. They believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. They do not believe in the Godhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Now get to 1 John 5:8. This is my question. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, I just wanted to know the meaning of that. Now, this is what I think it is. I'll see if I'm right.
Okay.
The first one, the Spirit, I'm assuming that that's the Holy Spirit.
Right, that's a capital S there, so that would be the Spirit.
Yeah. And then the second one, the water, is that referring to the baptism which Jesus commanded us as an act of obedience to be baptized after we're saved? Is that what they're referring to when you talk about the water?
A number of people believe that that would refer to Jesus' baptism. And the reason being that when Jesus was baptized, remember he went down to the River Jordan, John the Baptist was baptizing, and incidentally, it's John the Baptist. Baptist was what he did. He baptized, which by definition, the Greek word meant that he lowered people under the water and brought them up out of the water. None of this sprinkling or pouring nonsense, that's a whole different word. He would have been called John the Rantizist if he sprinkled. He was John the Baptist because he immersed and then brought him under the water and then up out of the water. And as Jesus was lowered under the waters of the River Jordan, John brought him up out of the water. And at that moment, remember, the Gospels tell us that the heavens opened and the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son," and the Holy Spirit descended in the form as of a dove. And so at the baptism of Christ, he was recognized as the Messiah by God the Father, and the presence of the Holy Spirit on him was a recognition. This was an authentication. His ministry began really at that moment, in the sense that he fulfilled scriptures in his birth and everything. But when he entered into his ministry, he received that baptism. And I think that that is probably what we have there. But also, you could say when an individual is baptized in a Baptist church, or at least a Baptistic church, when you baptize scripturally, somebody has trusted Christ as their Savior, and what do? We lower them down in the water, and I say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And I say, buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the new likeness of his resurrection and the newness of life. The baptism doesn't save, but it's a picture of that. And so that's a witness, I think, that the water there. And then the blood, of course, the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. So
thank you very much.
Yeah, that's kind of a quick look at that. I just got half a minute left. And I want to mention, everybody, remember again, if you can make it Thursday night at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 7 o'clock. I'm sorry, Wednesday night, Christmas Eve. And we have our Christmas Eve candlelight service for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And I want to wish a Merry Christmas to everybody. And God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The